Blog Talk Radio.
The directors, the directors, the directors, the directors, the directors.
Clever, coming second, baby, you must have a vibe. I just wanna show up, I just wanna show you love. Why you playing it back? Baby, go to the front. Cause I do this all for you. Confront the love you're missing. I'm here to let me give it. I just wanna show up, I just wanna show you love. Why you playing it back? Baby, come up to the front.
Baby, let me say something back. Show you ain't taking nothing back. Just know I'm the one.
The one.
I'm the one taking it back. I don't wanna make any racks. I don't wanna run in these tracks. Friend like you don't do this. Let me just take this back.
Clever coming second, baby, you must know why. I just wanna show up, I just wanna show you love. Why you playing it back? Baby, go tell a fraud. Cause I do this all for you. Confront the love you're missing. I'm here to let me give it. I just wanna show up, I just wanna show you love. Why you playing it back? Baby, come up to the front.
What's facilitating, man? Y'all already know it's the Mr. Baby King 1033. So I see that's me, you dig? This is Famo Nation Forever Radio, Jerkin 101, Volume 43, man. This is another part of our Dynamic Women series, man. And I have the honor of bringing one of my big famos, one of my big cousins, man, the powerful Lanice Jameson, to the show for a live interview session, man. And I told y'all, man, this is going to be powerful. This right here is super cool. I'm super excited, man, and I'm just honored to be able to do this because I know the things that she has inside of her, and not only touch the people around us, but touch a lot of people around the world as well, you dig? So big shout out and appreciate everybody outside of the United States that rocks with us, man, and that tunes into the show. The numbers are way up, man, and it's consistent, and we're gaining more and more listeners and more people in different places. So we appreciate all of y'all. We appreciate all of y'all. Spread the word, man, and if you miss anything of the shows, any of the shows, you can always replay them at any time. It don't matter. You can replay the show, right? So we got her on the line. We got Lanice on the line right now. So what we going to do, y'all know we got to start the vibe off right. We going to get into this Cinder Rose Superwoman, and when we come back, we going to start this interview session off the right way. Y'all ready? Let's let this break the ice. Let's go.
In the middle of the night, lying in a bed.
most definitely. Big shout out to Cinder Rose with that Superwoman song right there, man. Hey, I got to spin that every time we do a Dynamic Women series, because pushing for more for women's power, man, more for women awareness, man. I said this a long time ago that it was going to come a day where a lot of us men was going to start understanding and respecting the power that the woman has, her beauty, not only just her beauty, but her mental, her mind, her ability to decision-making, ability for advice, ability to care, all these type of things. I think we got to a moment to where we were showing a lot of love and a lot of awareness and a lot of respect to a lot of men, and that's cool and that's good. But without the woman, we would not be. Without the woman, man, a lot of us men would be lost today, right? So sometimes we got to shut that part of us off. And we got to respect the women, man. We got to respect, because there's a lot of dynamic women out here. And this one that's on the line is one of those dynamic women. So without further ado, let's get this interview session started. Cousin, what's going on with you? Let me introduce to y'all for the first time on the show, man. I'm very excited. The most powerful and dynamic, Lanice Jameson. How you doing, cousin?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. First of all, thank you for taking your time out and coming to the show to speak with me. Like I said, I know it's a lot of people out there that can be touched and can be reached. And sometimes just hearing it is something that can help start that process. So before we get started, here, go ahead and let you tell the folks just a little bit about yourself.
My name is Lanice Jamerson. I'm from Muskogee, Oklahoma. Born and raised, I'm a nurse practitioner, but I actually started off as an LPN. I was married, but I'm widowed now. I have four children, four grandchildren, and I hope that's all the grandchildren I have. I have three grandsons and one granddaughter. So.
Okay. Now, in your area, I know you have won some awards, and I know you have also spoke on certain things like that. What are some of the things that you are passionate about when it comes to, like, helping people?
Well, when I first started off as a nurse, well, is it okay to call you Pac-Man?
Yeah, you go ahead.
So we grew up calling Robert Pac-Man. So his mother is a nurse, and I have another aunt that's a nurse. And my mother worked as a nurse aide, so they influenced me to become a nurse. So actually, I was pregnant with my son when my mother signed me up for LPN school, because I never planned on going to nursing school. But once I started, I found a passion for it. I really wanted to help people. And one thing about nursing is very rewarding. You can help people out a whole lot. You see someone, like, I've worked to rehab a lot of my career. You see someone that couldn't walk, and being able to help them walk is phenomenal. And then now I work with people that have a mental health. And, you know, if we don't fix our mind, we cannot fix anything else. But one thing I notice is the majority of my patients are Caucasian. Black people, I think we see it as a form of weakness. It's still a stigma for us. And one of the things, reasons why I got into mental health is to help African Americans, because sometimes we face racism, we face issues with mental illness. I mean, we face issues with financial issues. And it's different, like, talking to another African American, you can sense, you know, there's things that we're able to pick up on. You know, there's some things some Caucasians or people of other races may not have faced racism, but most African Americans have, so it's easier to talk to them about it.
Understandable. So. And with the mental illness too, I agree with you too. I spoke with a couple other people that help people in this area, and that's one thing that they say also is that we tend to look at it as maybe a weakness and we don't go get the treatment, or we turn away from the treatment. And for you, and in the lanes you've been in, for the mental health part of it and the mental illness part of it, how crucial do you believe it is to get outside of that, of looking at it like it's a weakness and not seeking the help? How crucial do you see that can be for us to finally go ahead and get past that?
You see more African Americans coming now, but it's still that stigma. I think it's still a form of weakness, and it's hard. I think we're going to have to go out and promote it more, just like you're doing on this radio show, which when you asked me, that's why I said yes, because it is. I'm not one that will go out and speak. I will speak, but most of the time I shy away from that. But it has become a passion for me because I see so many people dealing with it. Look at some of our young ones, even our older ones, that's going to jail or prison. And maybe it could have been fixed with mental health. Like one of my cousins, he did really well in school. And then like when he turned 19, he started having issues. He broke into a store and different. So I guess he was having bouts of bipolar and he wasn't on any medicine. But, you know, sometimes when you get 19 or 20, people start having like signs of schizophrenia, signs of bipolar they've never experienced before, and they don't really know what to do. And, you know, maybe they went to their mother. Like I had a patient that said he went to his mother at 19 and said, hey, something ain't right. And she said, just pray. He said, you know, I always prayed. He said, I'm a preacher. He said, but I knew something else was wrong. I think it's okay to tell our family members. It's okay to take that medicine. It's okay to go seek mental health. And we have people that don't want to take medicine, and that's okay because you still can get therapy. Therapy can help you. But like with schizophrenia and bipolar, most of the time you do need to take some form of medication. So.
Okay, right. And that's something that a lot of us deal with. Mental illness is something that a lot of people, whether we want to agree with it or not, we do. And I was just talking about this the other day, and I tell people, hey, you know, I had to get to a point myself where, yeah, I understand, I can sense, or, you know, it's like you understand, okay, that part of you. And a lot of us will be embarrassed about admitting it, but once you get past that stage, you know, you can kind of be better on it. But with you two, and you can tell from the energy and how you talk through it that you have a passion for doing it and working in the rehab. Can you tell me a little bit about that, the importance of helping them along or assisting them along in their journey to rehabilitation with their mental?
Now, so I heard part of the question. So part of the question is what rehab?
Right. Yeah, what your rehab. Basically, like importance of the mental health while going through the rehab process.
Now, some people that go through rehab like 12 and 12 and stuff like that, people have to realize that sometimes depression, some are depressed people take pills to cope with the depression. Sometimes they take alcohol to deal with depression. Some people use like cocaine and meth. Those are not good methods. So then you may have to be on an antidepressant or you may have to take some other forms of medication. I think sometimes people self-medicate to deal with depression.
Right, yeah.
Like I had a patient that said, from the time he got up to the time he went to sleep, he drank whiskey. And one good thing about seeing a mental health provider, a lot of times we dig into people's background. Sometimes it stems from years ago. Like this patient said, he didn't have a good relationship with his father. He said once he mended that relationship with his father, he quit kind of drinking. And so we just kind of talked about it. But I think the thing we have to realize, sometimes African Americans, instead of going to that mental health provider, we start self-medicating. And you know as well as I do, the smoking of the cigarettes, the other different things. I tell patients, like they say, well, marijuana helps me. I do try to tell them sometimes they can cause some irritability and sometimes it can cause paranoia. So be very careful. Or sometimes people can lace that medication and it make it worse for you.
Yes.
So,
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know everything you said. I know people, you know what I mean, and myself, and I know others that I'm close to as well. And I actually have a friend who he drinks. Now, I don't hang with him all the time. Be honest. You know, if you alcoholic, hey, that's your life. But I can't hang with you like that, man. I come by and check on you every now, but I can't hang with you. But I know some of the things that he's been through in his life, and I know from the time he gets up to almost the time he goes, right before he goes to bed, he drinks. He's drinking all day long, but the depression or that feeling of what he's dealing with, it never goes away. And, you know, and he's been doing this, and, you know, he's been and had different therapy and stuff, but sometimes he don't want to stop, you know what I mean? He's so used to going to that to satisfy that when he getting depressed, that's his turn to. That's his number one go to, and you know he's older now, so I can see where it's harder for him because that's what he done trained himself to do. In younger people, like in younger adults, and I know you said at 19, and see that was something I didn't know you could start showing signs, you know, like around that age. With younger adults, too. I know mental health and getting that type of help is very crucial for them as well. What could you speak on as far as in like what if you, you know, if you have a child that maybe you're trying to get some, like what were some of the things that they would have to do?
So one thing about it, like if they're 18 or 19, a lot of times I think we just have to watch, you know, first of all, let's don't tell them they're crazy. First of all, let's really just talk to them and ask them what's going on. And some of the things people don't really realize, like some of the signs of depression. So say like your child's always laying in the bed, and I'm not talking about just from playing video games, but, you know, they're crying, they're tearful, you know, they seem sad all the time, and it's been going on not for like a week or two, but maybe a couple of months. And, you know, maybe they don't have an appetite, or maybe their appetite is increased, or maybe they have their concentration is poor, or they're not sleeping well at night. So I think once you talk to your child and say, you know, I think you let them know that there's nothing wrong with getting help. Because one thing about mental health meds, especially I should say depression and anxiety. So say like you go to therapy, you may not have to be on those meds the rest of your life. You may only have to take them a couple of months. Or, you know, once they show you some techniques to help you, like with your anxiety. Like sometimes, you know, the therapist will talk to patients about like some techniques on like maybe going outside, taking a walk, maybe counting to 10 and go back to that situation. Maybe they won't have to take meds, you know. So I would just tell the young adult, hey, let's go, you know, I'll go with you to your appointment. I may not be able to go in, but I'll go with you. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Because as mental health professionals, we have to follow the HIPAA rules, which means we can't say anything. Like, say, like, you brought a child to see me. If your child's adult, of course, I can't say anything. Even if your child's 14 or 15, they don't want me to tell you, I really can't say anything.
I understand.
But I think we try to get past that stigma as African Americans. You know, if my child needs to go, and I have been with one of my children to see a therapist. I even talked to the therapist. So.
Right. And too, then that's what I was going to say, too, with the parents. And you know, sometimes because with cases with kids and the parents, them being embarrassed about the situation or afraid to let someone know about the situation sometimes stops the kid or stops them from getting that type of help, too, because the parents, you know, sometimes might be embarrassed because that's their child. You know, you don't want nobody. Yeah. But to get those services and to get that help, you know, it's like you said, it's professionals out there and there's people out there that can help you. So you don't have to be embarrassed or anything like that. You have people that talk to you nice.
Take our children. What if they're the ones that like my cousin's son? I don't know what happened, but he went from being a kid that's making all ways to a kid that got in trouble. So I mean, he hadn't been in any trouble. Then all of a sudden, and then. I went to school, high school with a girl. She went into the military. She said everything was fine. And then when she turned 19, and it wasn't just when she turned 19, between 19 and 20, she started getting very paranoid. When I went to elementary with her, nothing was wrong with her, but she has a family history of schizophrenia. So we also have to realize there's family history, like schizophrenia, that's common in families. Even depression can be common in families. And so that's what we have to realize. You know, sometimes our parents didn't go, but maybe that's why our parents didn't get out of the room. Our parents didn't do too much. Maybe that's why they couldn't stay on a job. So as parents, too, we got to tell our kids, hey, we didn't go, but it's important that you go. You know, we want better for our children.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's kind of what I was wanting you, getting you to speak on, too, because that right there sometimes could open up and start the process for kids and younger adults who get that help, is the parents just saying, you know what, hey, well, let's go and let's just get the help or whatever the case may be and get past that. So definitely, definitely. And right now, you know, social media, the news, just even just word of mouth, talking around, this is something that you can just see out there more and more and more. And I know a lot of people are not trained to deal with it. I know me and myself, a situation, I might have not didn't handle it the best I could have because, you know, I didn't know how to. And I heard you speak about, you know, certain things about, like, when you're dealing with people that say have mental illness or mental health situations, I know a lot of times we tend to approach them hostile or in a angry manner or in a loud manner and these type of things. What does that actually do to them or to the situation? From your point of view.
Well, I just think you always have to stay calm, because if you start hollering, it's going to make it worse. Sometimes it makes their senses go even, you know, a lot of those people get even more animated, get even more paranoid, get even more stressed. So I think as long as you stay in a calm voice, you know, I'm here to help you. What do you need? Sometimes that still doesn't get them where they need to go. Because we've had a couple of patients that were supposed to go to appointments where their family member couldn't get them out the car. But one thing, if we're the family member and they live with us or something like that, it's important to know the signs of what's going on. If they're not taking their meds, excuse me, because if they're not taking their meds, that's when you can notice some different signs with them too.
Right.
You know, if they start talking paranoid and they were fine before, it may be because they're not taking their meds. So, and one thing we have to realize, another important thing, is that a lot of African Americans don't go see mental health too, is because they don't see people like them. They don't see other black people. They see people of different races just assuming things about them. Like if you're 15 see someone that's not your, you know.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And you know, people have actually spoke about things as well, you know, and I've actually heard people that never had, you know, say, go to these services and never have anyone that you know, looks like them or represents their race, treat them and them type of things. So, yeah, I've actually heard people say that too. And it does, I see where it could make a difference, a sense of relating, even if it was just to get the, you know, first initial start process, to start and get ahead. That might just be
Some of those people are drinking.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those people are drinking. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be drinking. Like you said, they're taking other drugs with that. But they're being influenced by our friends. And another reason we need to really look at mental health is look at suicide. Look at our kids commit suicide.
So kids
are being bullied. Kids are, you know, this society is a lot different. And I think the way we approach kids has to be a lot different. If they think they're different, then, you know, like you're the big kid or you're totally different. I mean, kids have committed suicide at really young ages, and that's what's really scary.
Yes, I think
we have to be in tune to our child's mental health. I mean, like, going through the normal teenage stuff, yes, you know, that's going to happen. But if you see different signs of always sad, always tearful, staying in their room, you know, just a totally different change in behavior, I think it's important to make sure we're reaching out to them, you know.
Right. I understand. Now, do you see, have you came across to where, you know, doing this and working with people and finding out to when people do get off, and I know you probably have several times, but the changes in them once they actually say start going through or start using some of the techniques that they've learned, or, you know, start doing some of the things that the therapists and these type of people have, you know, taught them to do.
Yes,
or put forward,
they feel so much better. Yes, they say, I can get up and do things. I feel motivated, because sometimes people feel like, I don't feel motivated to do anything. I want to do stuff, but I can't. So they say they feel so much better. Now, one thing about the medications is not every medication doesn't work for everybody. Like, say, like, my mother's on an antidepressant. Usually you'll use what your family member's on if that's what's working.
Right.
So, but one thing we have to realize, too, we have to practice self-care. Maybe that's taking a walk. Maybe that's going to the gym. Different things like that, we really have to – self-care is different from each person, for each person. But I don't know that we practice that all the time. I mean, I think sometimes, like, especially when you're raising a family, your family is first, but we don't practice. Take the time out to practice that self-care. And that can cause you some depression. That can cause you some stress. So.
Yes, that self-care. It is deeper than just, you know, which is good, cleaning your body and that type of stuff, but it's more deeper than just the outside. It's the things on the inside. Like you said, you might deal with depression too, and that self-care could be key. Because a lot of times, you laid it out perfectly. We just go, you know, we get up and go. Mm-hmm. We deal with what we got to deal with, but we don't really spend any time or allocate any time to self-care.
So what does that mean for people? Is that reading a book? Yeah, is that reading a book? Is it going to the movies? Is it listening to music? You know, that's what we have to learn how to do.
Right.
I think what we try to do is focus on how do I feed my family? How do I take care of this? How do I get this? Or how, you know, it's different things that we worry about instead of taking care of ourselves. Because, you know, we have that spouse or that girlfriend or, you know, our children. But at the end of the day, we do have to take time out for ourselves. Even if it's 15, 20 minutes, it's very important.
Yes, I agree with you so much. Cause I know I go fishing. That'd be my time to. But it helps me because I be doing, you know, so much, and I got so much to be going on. It seems like when I go fishing, I can clear my mind. I can kind of get back recentered. I can kind of, you know, just relax. I ain't as tense. But I've noticed, you know, that it carries over until my next day, and then the day after that, and the day after that, and then the next time I go, it just keeps me off in there. So I love to go so much. And I know a lot of other men that I have taken with me, you know, they don't even realize, like, that could be a form of self-care for them.
Yes.
I know some that talk the whole trip up there, but as soon as we get there, never say a word. Never say a word till it's time to go, because they be so at peace or relaxed or being able to clear their mind and concentrate on one single thought instead of a thousand others. So, and I know people that read. My mother, she's, you know, mama big on reading, man. And I done seen mama sitting read books till sometimes she went to sleep. And that's another form, too. So I'm glad you touched on that, because we don't spend enough time with self-care because we're so focused on the things, like you said, paying bills. Oh, I got to go take this person here. I got to get the kids here. I got to do this. I got to do this. We don't. We'll do that for years in and years out.
Yep. But yeah, never take the time out for ourselves. But one thing I wanted to touch on, we talk about mental health, but, you know, once again, we need more people, and I'm saying African-Americans, I am, but we need more people, whether they be Mexican, African-American. We need, our children need to see us in this field. They need to see us. We need therapists. We need people like that that can help us. Because I think sometimes when our children don't see people like us, they shouldn't just see, you know, I mean, they shouldn't just see doctors and therapists that are Caucasian. We also want to see people like us when we go to therapy, the people that relate to us sometimes.
Right. And I think that's key, too, because it is a lot of youth, you know what I mean? And they're coming up. And I talked to some, and not a whole lot, man, but it seems, though, you know, those type of fields, like you said, if they're not really seeing a representation of themselves or representation of their race, it seems not to be as popular or as cool, it seems like. But it's a lot of people that do get off inside the medical field. And that's why I said I'm glad you came on to speak about this, because this is another side that if you out there that's listening or you feel like you have that passion and that's what you want to do, that's an awesome way to actually help and give back to people at the same time.
I think you touched on it right there. I think it's very important, and I think people worry about money to go to school. They can't quit working, but there's grants out there for your student loans, and people also have to understand that sometimes, like my niece, she's Cherokee, so she got paid to go, an hourly wage to go through RN school. So there are other grants as FAFSA. There's several grants out there, especially in this type of field right now, because they're in need. So I really feel like we need to really push it. One of my friends, she is the one who talked to me about going to school, because I really had said I was a nurse manager, and I said I don't really want to go back to school. So me and her talked about it, and it was her plan for us to go back to school to be a nurse practitioner, but she actually wants to open up a clinic for mental health to open up her own office. So I really think that really is a good thing. I mean, she's worked in mental health her whole career. This is just, I've been in this about 2 years. But I do feel like this would be a good opportunity, especially in this town, so people could go talk to someone or go get prescribed medications for mental health. I mean, right now we have a free country, but you see people going in and out of there. Like, you went to an actual doctor's office, I mean, you would probably have more privacy. So,
and see,
and
that's
I think
one thing
sometimes
I was
that privacy
helps. Go ahead.
The privacy people like that, you know what I mean? They could go in versus green country where everyone probably basically knows why you're going there, you know?
Right. I see what you're saying. And that's what I was going to go get your insight on, too, was the service availability, these services availability to the community. And I know within our community that we stay here in Muskogee, you named out, you know, them. And do you think that also can hinder a lot of people from getting or even going because it's limited, you could say, opportunity or limited resources for them to go?
I think so, because think if you don't really have any money, that's the place you're going to basically go here in Muskogee. But I guess if you have the money, you can go to other people. But I think it's about $100, $150 an hour if you were to pay cash. Now, if you have insurance, it's probably a lot cheaper, but you're still going to pay a copay. And I think people look at expense. Think about it. Even if you're paying a copay, if you're trying to take care of a family, $20 or $25 a session, you may be going once a week or you may be going every 2 weeks, but that can start adding up, especially for a family that's struggling to make it. So,
yes.
Think about the expense of medications. Medications aren't very, they're not cheap. So, you know, that family member, I mean, who's ever having to take the patient for care, probably is thinking about the copay plus the cost of medicine. You know, a lot of struggling families, and that's why people go to Green Country, because I think they base it on your income, and they do like a sliding scale. So, but I also feel like I went there with clinicals. I think they have good services, but they also move patients through there really quick. Like if you go to a doctor's office, like your first intake is going to be about an hour, and then when you follow up, it'll be 30 minutes. Well, Green Country, they move people a little bit quicker because they have so many patients they have to see.
I see. I understand.
You know, like may have, like, when I went over there, they had like maybe 20 people in the morning and maybe 10 or 15 in the afternoon. I mean, they tried to move people through quick, and I understand why, because a lot of people wanting to be seen to get their medicine. So.
Right. And that's what, and I was talking to, I got a great friend of mine, Mr. Jason Platter. He's up in Wichita, Kansas, and he goes around, he speaks on a lot about mental health, and he is involved with a lot of different programs and services. And just talking with him and talking with other people too, it seems like sometimes, like you said, even in people in my position that even have platforms, we don't even really push or even promote or share as much information about the resources that we could. I do remember growing up sometimes on commercials, and this is, you know, this back then, these kids don't know about it, but back then they used to have commercials that would come out and would say certain things. We had the DARE commercials, you know, we had just different things like that we would see on TV. And I notice now when I do watch TV, or very seldom watch TV, but it's none of those there. So, and like I said, in our lane, and it's entertainment, the broadcasting, promotion, marketing, all of that lane, it is not something that is heavily promoted or heavily pushed out there. So that there could, that too, you know, like you said, it's all of us, that too can hinder even people knowing that the services is available, that they're even out there for them.
Yeah, I think that's very important. But one thing we also need to let people know, so say like a patient comes to see me and they say, I don't want medicine. I respect that. And any provider you go to, if they say, if you say, I don't want to take medicine, they should respect it. I still do my whole intake with the patient, and I'll say, I'll follow up with you in a month or 6 weeks. And then say like a patient comes to see me and I'll say, hey, I want to put you on mirtazapine, which is Remeron, so that helps you sleep, plus it helps with your depression. If that patient says, hey, I'd like to check up on that medication before I take it, I also talk to them about, say, okay, here's the medicine, I'll put you on, look at it, and then tell me if you're interested in taking it. So we still want to give patient options, because sometimes when they take the medicine, it will make you feel drowsy. Or, you know, each person is different. Some people don't feel anything. Some people say, oh, it made me feel sleepy, so I quit taking it. One thing about most of your antidepressants, it takes about 6 weeks for it to get in your system and for you to have the full effects of it. So if you take it one day and quit, we really don't know if it really worked for you or not, unless you were having salad. You know, some people, If it makes you real sleepy, of course you're not going to take it. If you have to work the next day or you have other things going, but
right.
One thing, when you do go see one, you can be very honest with your provider. Hey, I'm not one that's interested in medicine, or, hey, I'd like to try something other than medicine, you know. Like, say, like a person comes to see me and they don't want to take any of the antidepressants for sleep, I'll talk to them about melatonin, which is a natural acting medication for sleep. So there's
right.
other things you can look at. Like if you have anxiety, there's things we can give you PRN if you don't like to take medicine routinely. So I talk to them about the one you have to take routinely and then the one you don't. But anytime a patient or anytime someone wants to go see a provider, make sure they explain stuff to you. And don't ever feel like you have to take medicine. I think when a person goes, they feel like, hey, I feel like I got to take something, because no, you don't have to take anything, and you can just go to therapy. You don't have to take medicine. So.
Okay, and that's key too, because some people are, they don't want to take medicine, and if there's other ways out there that can, like you said, can work for them and it can help them, then they should be able to utilize those as well. And therapy, I went to anger management before. I was ordered to go to anger management. And, you know, people laugh uh-huh. about these things and they joke about these things. And I might have not took it serious there right after, but as I continue to go on, you know, in life, a lot of those things that I learned in those sessions, I actually use still today. You know, with myself, and that's how I'm able to, on certain things, not go too overboard, but I can always mm-hmm. draw myself back in now before I really get that much overboard to where I used to would go overboard and wasn't no drawing back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but because of those, because I went to those anger management classes and those sessions dealing with that, some of those things that I heard in there that they had us doing, it stuck with me. And I mm-hmm. use them, you know, whenever the occasion arises, I use them, and it's almost like automatic. And I can tell now more and more as I grow and get older, it becomes easier for me to pull back from when it used to be hard. But that's because,
that was,
you know,
the best
I take
thing you said
to help
right there.
Serious.
That's exactly, I think that's the best thing you said. I think when people come in, they'll say, hey, I got an anger problem. And like you said, you don't have to take medicine. Some people actually go to therapy, and that helps them. And that's what people have to understand. I don't know how long your classes were. So say like you come for therapy and it's anger. Say like you come, I mean, it might have been 10 weeks, and it might not have been 10 straight weeks, but, you know, like once a month. And that therapist will deal with you. Like if you get angry, this is some of the things you should do. So I think
right.
that's, you hit the nail on the head when you said that, and I think people don't really understand it. Sometimes, so say like someone comes to me, and I put them on medicine, and then they've been to therapy, and so like they say after 6 months, hey, I feel like I'm better. I don't really feel like I need this medication. What we'll do is, depending on what medicine, we'll slowly taper them off. And taper, I mean, like say like you're on Sertraline 100. We'll take you down to Sertraline 50 and then Sertraline 25, because one thing about taking patients off medication, you have to be careful with just taking them off of it just all at one time, because if you mm-hmm. do, you can have side effects. So I do feel like you hit it the nail on the head when you said you went to those classes, they taught you things. And that's what we have to learn, how to deal with anger, how to deal with our depression. Because sometimes people get more depressed in the winter versus in the summer.
Yeah, yes. I've noticed that about myself sometimes. And I've never really looked into it or anything. And I joke about it because I like to joke. But I joke about it. I say, oh, well, I guess I'm in my more nicer season now sometimes of what I say. Or I'm in my angry season this season. But I never really, you know, and that's not something that we really put together, relate together of how all of this type of stuff can affect us.
Yeah, it's seasonal because, look, sometimes in summer, like you said, you like to fish, you like to do different things, and some of that in the winter we can't do, you know.
Right.
It gets darker
right.
quicker, you know, you don't have the sunlight.
Yes.
So sometimes people do, so it's recognizing that too.
Wow. See, that's why I said I was so excited, because that right there, it just opened my eyes up to something. During the summertime, when I'm fishing, I am A-OK. I'm good. I can go through something, but, you know, it doesn't last long. But you're right.
Uh-huh.
Once the season changes and I'm not able to go do that, you know, it's different. And I just really realized that just now talking, but it's really different. And, yeah, but my animals, you know what I mean, still for me with the animals,
yeah.
I think that was more of a way for me to compensate from those, you know, fishing
yeah.
and then this time without me even realizing it.
Yeah. Hmm. And that's the thing is, we like, so where I work for the government, but we also, like, we sometimes will have to write that for patients about, you know, not service animals, but I forgot what it's called, but sometimes those animals can be very therapeutic. So we'll write them letters
yeah.
for that, to have those type of animals. But, like, whenever my husband had a stroke, he seemed down and depressed, but when he got his dog, which was a German Shepherd, even though it was outside, he seemed to perk up because he always had animals. And sometimes people don't realize having those
yeah.
pets sometimes bring so much joy to people, you know, and
yes.
helps with their depression. So,
yes.
And I didn't realize
yes.
that at first until I got in the field, and you'll see a lot of people are happier with their animals or having those animals. So,
yes, because I know I could stay out with the animals. I could stay out there all night long with them and never have an issue or never be feeling like, oh, I got to get up and leave, or oh, I got to hurry up and mm-hmm. do this. I got to hurry up and do this. And it just be, you know, just as fine and dandy with me. So I do see what you're saying on that, especially with service animals. And see, that's another option. A lot of people love animals. There's a lot of animal lovers out there. And in that moment of spending time and taking care and caring for those animals could be therapeutic in a way, too, I would imagine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot
okay.
of people that, like, have farms and
yes.
different animals on the farms, like some of them say they have baby goats, different things like that, you know, that helps with, because I'll say, how do you cope? And they said, working on my farm or working with my animals, you know.
Yeah.
It really
so
helps
definitely,
with
definitely
their
for y'all that's listening. Y'all love animals. There's a lot of y'all that love animals out there, man. That right there, you know, you can look into that a little bit more, and it might help you in a more therapeutic way or recognize what it's already doing for you now. Kind of like what I just became sense to me, because, yeah, I see what when the wintertime comes, I can't do no fishing. And that's my like, my place that I go to recenter and just, you know, get back focused and everything. And in the wintertime, that's gone, and I haven't, you know, put something else in that place or, you know what I mean, anything like that. So I definitely feel you on that and agree with you on that. Now, is there anything that you think every day that a person could work on if they are dealing with depression? What is something that you think that they could do just every day to kind of help them start the process mentally to deal with it?
You know, sometimes actually write down your thoughts are some of the best things you can do, or write down how you have a personal journal. I think that's very important. But I also think if that's not helping you, it's very important to see a mental health professional. I think it's especially important for us African Americans to see mental health professionals. If you don't feel comfortable if you live here in Muskogee and you don't feel comfortable, there's other places surrounding areas like Talca or Tulsa. But I feel like it's important that we get, because sometimes we deal with racism on jobs. You know, there's financial
yeah.
things that go on that really have an effect on our mental health. And if it has an effect on our mental health and we're raising children, it may have an effect on our children. Because when we're stressed, our children feel it.
Yes, and that's another one, too, that right there about, you know, it could have an effect on our children. And a lot of us never paid attention to that or didn't recognize that, and that, you know, certain situations or certain things that we do or we go through can be passed along to them, or they can pick it up from us. And I heard you say, like, with like depression and mental illness and these type of things, sometimes we often don't recognize that. You know, we don't recognize that. It could be as parents or big brothers, big sisters, whatever. We don't really recognize that sometimes. So even us, the ones who we say are not, you know, dealing with that issue, us being more informed on the situation, on the matter, can help us help someone that's dealing with it that's close to us. Because, like, say, for me, my mother know, my sister know, you know, I got cousins know about it. Me personally, it really hit me when a situation happened and I didn't really know what to do. And for me, you know, as a man, and it just me, I ain't got too much pride, but it was like I was down on myself because I felt like, man, I do a lot of reading, I do a lot of research and all this stuff. I should have been better prepared on how to handle the situation. So I think, too, with people that, you know, on the other side that want to help people, we had to get our understanding and our knowledge up more so that we can help them effectively and not bringing it in enticing or instead of de-escalating the situation, we escalated the situation just simply because we don't know how to approach it or deal with it. And I realized that when I actually – the situation happened with me personally, and I was like, man, I got to be more prepared, you know. So I since then started researching on my own just to try to figure out ways, because I realized that, like you said, it's been this much time and I never learned if that situation was to happen with my children or anything, and I would have to be the one to deal with them how to do that.
Yeah, but don't ever get down on yourself, especially about mental health. Because we don't know until we know. So, you know, when my friend talked to me about mental health, one thing that happened, I didn't realize it, and it made me really want to do it, but I have a half-brother that died. He had schizophrenia. I never met him, but I found out he had schizophrenia, and my brother, that's the boxer, Jeremiah, he told me that he said that he felt like he was over-medicated. He was like in a group home. And another thing I found out, one of my cousins was taking care of him and didn't realize that he was kin to him until, you know, years later. But I never met this brother that died, and it's really sad. But, you know, someone sent me the obituary, and my name, you know, me and my brother's name were in the obituary. But it's just a shame. I was like, I just felt like it was really sad, and it just really made me realize, as African-Americans, sometimes look at what it can do to us. I don't know if he was ever medicated or not, because I never really met him. I don't know how long he was in a group home, but he was, I guess he's about 32, 33 when he died. It's been about 2 or 3 years ago. But I still have some sadness because I never got a chance to meet him, and he had some mental health issues. I mean, you know, I just felt like that was sad, and it just made me really feel like I do want to help people. So.
Okay. And I understand. And I got to say, too, talking to you, you can hear my Aunt Candy in your voice.
Yeah.
I love Kenny so much, man. I can see several times of the laughs and talking with Kenny and being around her mama. Yeah, I love her. And gotta say, too, Kenny and Brooke, big shout out to them. I see them around town. I see Kenny more than I do brother, but me and Kim, we probably run into each other at the store or just different things like that. And for everybody that's listening, these are my big cousins, man. These are big cousins that
now, you
all
know,
around
Kenny's
a lot
daughter
of time.
Is the one who Kenny's daughter is the one who just finished nursing school. So
yes.
That's one thing I'm really proud of, my family. Like your sister is a nurse, your mother's
right.
a nurse. You know, our mm-hmm. auntie that passed away is a nurse, so we have family background of that. So
yes, and in that field, one big thing is you have to want and love to be able to help someone else and to take care of someone else. And
yes.
you said,
mm-hmm.
just like you said, with those people in our family, you know, a lot of people did ask me when we started the nonprofit, well, why you do that? And I tell them, hey, man, if you look at what I was raised around or the people that was over me, this is something that was going to happen before I even thought about it. I've watched people mm-hmm. close to me, women too, giving, helping people, caring for people, whether it be sick or just needed some extra help. So them were seeds that mm-hmm. you said that's been planted in our family and in many other families too, but in ours for so long. So doing those type of things, like you said, I feel like, if that's what you want to do, you want to step in that field, and you do have the heart for it, and you really want to help people, like Lanice said, right now the industry in that field is needing people to come inside and to get inside that. So if that's you, then that's what you need to align yourself with, because the people really need some help out there. And the more people that we can get inside that field and go through the class and go through the teaching and don't give up and come out where you can work in that field and help others, that's going to be key. Because I know in a lot of areas the resources are limited, and if you don't have an option of different people to talk to or to see, then you're stuck with what you got. And that might not be the one that can get through to you. So you said a lot of amazing stuff, cousin. I love you. I so appreciate you for taking your time out. Is there anything else that you want to tell, you want to tell them or that you want to say before we get out of here or that you want to leave them with?
I think one thing we need to really think about, we'll go to our primary care doctor about any of our ailments, but the thing is, if we don't fix what's mentally wrong with us, we won't be able to fix the rest. And that is so important. And some people may not need medicine, and some people may not need therapy, but I do think we need to practice self-care and loving ourselves and teaching our kids how to do the same thing.
Amazing. I agree with you. And I know a few of y'all came in here a little late. I don't know what time y'all thought the show started, but don't worry, man, because you're going to have to replay the show and catch back up on it, because you can do that. But, yeah, it was 8:30. It's 9:39. But it has been a very, very powerful, powerful session. And I knew this, and I think I actually said this in the message to you. I knew you were going to say something that I could learn from, that I could use in my life right now to help me. And I tell people, man, it's that much. When you have the ability and mental to say, you know what, I'm willing to learn, then do it. Don't block yourself from that, because you could be stopping yourself from getting that help that you need, or that help that you that could sharpen you up. So I appreciate you, cousin. I love you so much.
Yeah.
I look up to
you
half for all my life. You are a dynamic woman. I've watched you all my life, how you take care of family, your kids, the love that you have for yours is to be honored. And I appreciate you.
And thank you for having me on here, and thank you for talking about mental health. I think it's so important. So if you ever need me to come back or need any therapy, I have friends that practice therapy. So if you ever need that, let me know, and we'll come back on here again.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to sit down with you, because I ain't like everybody else. I know I need to sit down with a therapist, because what's going on up here in my mind from day to day, it's crazy, but that's just me, though. But I ain't going to lie, I ain't going to front. Yeah, I need to sit down. It would do me a lot of good and would be healthy for me to sit down with a therapist. So, yeah, I'm going to sit down with you one day and talk to you. And I'm being serious. I joke a lot, but I'm being serious, too, because hey, this is life, and I got to a point to understand I can't beat everything off of what I know. I can't tackle everything. I can't take care of everything by myself and just with what I know. That, and I've got to that point now to where I'm not embarrassed, you know, and I will let people talk to me about certain things and help them. And I wasn't always like that because of a pride thing, but I'm there now. And, yeah, so I'll definitely be getting with you, cousin. And again, I know I don't want to keep you too late, but, again, appreciate you. And I will most definitely be getting you back. I know a friend of mine, like I said, they're in some of the same fields, and they were tuned in and been listening to the show as well. And one of them would like to, he said he would love to speak with you just about this as well. So I'll be getting with you here pretty soon, though.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate you.
Okay.
Tell Auntie I said I love her, and I'm stocking up on the fish, so I got her this summer. I ain't going to forget about her this summer.
Okay. I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. You take it easy. All right.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Man, that was an amazing session, man. Amazing session. Again, my family, man. I have some dynamic women all up and down my family, man, on both sides of my family. It's a lot of powerful women. And I just talked to my mama. I ain't supposed to say anything, but I'm going to say tell y'all. I just talked to my mama not too long ago, man, and we might be getting my mama live on the show. And when I say that's something that I've prayed for, man, years ago, and to be this close to it, to actually become a reality, is exciting to me, because I know what's inside her and what operates through my mama, and it's definitely going to touch y'all, man, and it's definitely going to touch people all over, man. So y'all make sure y'all stay tuned for that. Again, much love to my cousin, Lanice Jameson, for all that she is doing and all that she is. Definitely an angel, man, and a blessing to not only herself and her family, but to a lot of other people as well. Until next time, y'all remember, keep it jerking. We out.